Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page Season 4, Book 7 of Twistaplot, the Video Avenger. It's video game day. Have you ever heard of a video game before, Raps?
Oh, what?
It's the 80s. It's the great new video games.
You mean those newfangled electronic board games?
Yes, precisely. The interactive television show.
I hear Atari are working on something called Pong. That might be a smash hit.
Yeah, it might be a smash hit.
Oh, also Call of Duty 17 is coming out. That's going to be great.
Oh, wow, yes. that happened now. That's right.
That franchise has been going since time immemorial. They have not missed a yearly release since Jesus was alive.
It does feel like it, doesn't it? But yeah, the Video Avenger, it does seem like a video game themed book. And considering like the timing on this book, let's see, like 1983. Yeah, I'm really curious what a choose your own adventure book about video games from 1983 is going to be like.
The front shows clear homage to pixel graphics, but it also has like extremely sharp polygons in some little trooper soldiers down at the bottom right. But I think the most dated video game reference on here is the tagline: "Meet computer warriors.
Yes,
battle electronic monsters."
Yeah, that's it. 1983.
You just don't get straightforward tags like that anymore.
1983. The major events of the year include the great video game crash of 1983. And the third generation of video game consoles. This was when the NES came out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The highest grossing game of this year is Pole Position. Okay.
Never heard of it.
Wow, you don't see this anymore. The highest grossing video game of the year was Pole Position. The third year in a row for a Namco arcade game. In the home market, the best-selling home system was the Nintendo Game & Watch for the fourth year in a row.
Ooh.
Wow. Hearing that, that is a little bit mind-blowing. The best-selling home video game being Donkey Kong. Heard of that one?
That one's still around.
I've heard of him. He goes, DK, Donkey Kong. That's what he does. But yeah, Meet Computer Warriors, Battle Electronic Monsters. This cover is absolutely banging. It's everything you would think. There's a laser shooting out of the eyes of a T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the exact merger of a T-Rex and a naked mole rat. It is
true.
A pink skin, fleshy T-Rex shooting a laser across a very cool man's face.
Yeah, very suave man.
Hell of a pompadour, my guy.
And some very pointy polygon Power Rangers in the front of the picture. There we go. There's another P.
Rito, I'm eager to meet these people. May I bewarn you?
Please, for the love of God, would you bewarn me? Would you have bewarned me? I wasn't ready.
Don't read this book from beginning to end. You're about to step into a world completely controlled by the smartest computers you'll ever meet. You'll compete with the machine in all kinds of games and electronic challenges. Make the right moves and you will have a lot of fun. Guess wrong, and your game could be all over. You'll soon find out that there is more than one adventure lurking in the pages of this book. The twists and turns are up to you. If you don't like the way your story is going, go back and try another route. Think twice, three times even, before you turn a page or push a button. There's only one way in, but there are many ways out of this book. All you have to do is outsmart the computer. So good luck, and may you never cross the wrong circuits.
Ah, yes. Video games. I always have to cross
phrase.
Circuits. I always have to wire the circuits whenever I play Donkey Kong or Pole Position.
It used to be much more mechanical in this age of video games, but nowadays it's more like, you know, don't break a leg for an actor, right? Like, it's just an idiom that people pass back and forth between one another. I remember on the stage, the first international, Fnatic just hyping one another up. Never cross the wrong circuits. Don't cross the wrong circuits. No wrong circuits, buddy. No wrong circuits.
No wrong circuits.
Just that moment of camaraderie.
It's true. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm in. Make the right moves and you will have a lot of fun. It's very presumptuous about the quality of the book as well, just that sentence right there. But I'm hoping it's right. Okay, I actually see the first proper noun the first proper noun that we are given in this book, and I will say, yes, this is going to be a good book. Page 2. It's the big day. You've received word from your local Burger Bomb restaurant that you have won one of the 5 grand giveaway prizes. A slick, super smart Mee 2 computer. Mee 2 computer. And today is the day they promise to deliver it. Sure enough, a truck pulls up in front of your house and the driver leaves a small mountain of cardboard cartons in front of your steps. Those 4,789 cheeseburgers that you ate paid off. You drag the boxes up to your room, rip open the big one marked computer, and inside is not a Mee 2, but a big black machine with silver knobs and switches and a video screen built right into the front. Was this supposed to go to the mysterious new laboratory down the street? The ones with the high wire fences and armed guards? Maybe the driver delivered the wrong machine by mistake. In no time, you have all the boxes opened and the computer hooked up. You press the button stamped start. The machine makes a soft hum and blink. Hey, there's your favorite video game. Death Beam Dinosaurs. Just then, your sister Kate bursts into the room.
Hey, you got the computer. What are we going to play on it?
I'm going to play Death Beam Dinosaurs.
You say, pushing her out of the room. Go on to page 4. Death Beam Dinosaurs is such a come up with a video game on the spot title.
Mm-hmm. Burger Bomb is also such a come up with a fast food chain on the spot. I love it.
I love it, though. I do love a Burger Bomb. I love in the world of like sitcoms and stuff like that, that fast food names just lean into like filth and the grunginess angle. I love it when mm-hmm. they do that. Like, you know, the burger trough or whatever, you know?
Yep.
I love it because I just, stuff like that wouldn't happen in real life, but like I've come across every once in a while, you'll come across one and you're like, that does not sound like an appetizing place.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like I think I saw a restaurant called like the Lunch Bucket or something before, and I was like, okay, it seems okay.
It's only one step away from the pig trough.
yeah. the food hole. But on the screen is a small silvery spaceship and a weird 7-headed flying dinosaur that fires death beams from every one of its mouths. Yes. To score points, you have to get the spaceship to blast the head that is shooting out the beam. If you miss, you waste a valuable shot. If you blast a non-shooting head, the dinosaur splits in two, and you double your trouble. You're all ready to play, but you can't find the controls. Just then, a voice comes out of the computer.
Hello, human.
Hello?
You mumble.
Who are you?
I am the voice of computer control. I will show you how to operate the machine. Are you ready to play the game?
Well, yeah, but there's no controls.
You point out.
No problem. You see that small spaceship on the screen?
Yeah?
Touch it.
Commands computer control.
What?
Touch your finger to the spot where the spaceship appears on the screen.
Weirdest game I've ever heard of, you think? But you want to humor this thing, so you put your finger on the tiny glowing spaceship, and that's when it happens. Go on to page 5. That's when it happens. That's when you touch
that's
your
when it
finger.
Happens. You get Tron.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not a reference yet.
Oh, no.
Actually, Tron is from the 70s. It might already be a reference at this point.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say yeah, you're right.
No. Hang on. Tron came out in 1982, so it would be an extremely topical reference.
Wow, super, super nice reference. 10 out of 10.
To a current blockbuster in theaters.
Yeah, wow. There's a flash of light, a loud zzz, and you're flying straight into the video screen, Tron style. In fact, you know what? Book was probably inspired by Tron. Hold on. Now it all has come together very, very, very cleanly. Now, the release year that this is definitely Tron inspired. Everything is a blur at first, but finally you find yourself sitting at some sort of control panel overlooking the shimmering acres of video landscape. Computer Control starts talking to you again, this time through the panel.
You are now in Video World. The games you play are for real, and the stakes are high. Wrong move, and you'll be fired into a tiny electronic blip. Good luck, human.
Hold it!
You shout.
But I don't feel like playing games right now.
Too late. You have to let the program run its course.
We did want to play games. I might stick my finger up into the air and correct.
Exactly.
We did. That was the whole thing. Then out of the corner of your eye, you see an enormous green seven-headed dinosaur drifting towards your ship. You grab the control stick and... Wait a minute. What's this? There's a big black hyperspace button among the controls. If it works like other games, one push will rocket you to someplace else. Still, it might be fun to take on the dinosaur. You don't get to play a game like this every day. If you hit the hyperspace button, turn to page 11. If you decide to take on the dinosaur, turn to page 12.
Well, I'm familiar with this game. This is our favorite game, Death Beam Dinosaur.
I'm with you. Boring. Page 12. Wait, page 11. Boring, let's do it. Page 11. Hyperspace, or hit the button, and faster than a speeding electron, you find yourself rocketing along, straight for a large black eye in the dinosaur's head, and before you know it, you've shot right through the eye and come out in a new dimension of the game world. Up ahead is an enormous landing strip where hundreds of spaceships like yours are lined up, and the voice of Computer Control speaks.
Welcome to the Inner Circuits. You are now at the core of Game World. And you now have to play your way out.
Some other force takes over your controls, and gradually your ship settles down in the center of the circle of light. To your right and left are other circles. The door slides open, and you step outside, and a woman, steps behind a ship. From behind a ship, and hisses at you.
Hey, over here, quickly!
You can't believe it. Another human trapped in the game, too? You begin to move towards her, and at that moment, a loud voice shouts out.
Attention all game players. Return to your ships. Anyone caught outside a ship when the starting beep has sounded will become a starting beep himself.
What?
I don't understand that threat. If you're not on the starting line when I fire the gun, you're gonna become a gun.
What a confusing and not that scary threat. I don't want to be a starting beep, but also, what are you talking about?
That's someone who realized they wanted to threaten, but they didn't figure it out. Oh. They were trying to put down the train tracks in front of the running train, and they failed. They ran out of time.
Yeah, it's like your strength is high, but the intelligence is low, but you did succeed on the intimidate check.
Well, we're still intimidated. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm terrified.
The way that he was so haphazard with his words, he'd be so he'd be haphazard with my spine. Anyways, what now? If you decide to follow the woman, turn to page 7. If you decide to go back in the ship, turn to page 15.
I mean, I don't want to become a starting beep, but this is the first human that I've seen here.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to risk it.
Let's go see the human.
The strange-looking woman walks over to a vacant landing circle and lifts it up by the edge, like a giant trap door. Underneath is a tunnel. A little nervously, you step in, and surprise, there's no step. You follow down a long black hole. As light as a feather, you drift to the ground. The woman floats down next to you. Looking around, you see a group of people. The woman whispers as you walk towards the crowd.
Be careful whom you talk to here. The computer has its spies among us. Where are we? In a forgotten pocket of circuitry? One the computer can't even reach with its power. Who are all these people? Those who played the machine and lost.
She says.
Some of them helped build this. They wanted to make the smartest machine ever. Unfortunately, they did just that. I guess that means I'm stuck here too.
You say, sighing.
Not if you're willing to help. With you on our side, we might be able to get out. Will you join us?
If you decide to help him, turn to page 19. You notice an opening off to one side that you'd like to try on your own. Find out where it leads on page 70. Wait, one of them tells us what we think. That's abnormal. So funny. That's I will say, it is kind of within my brain. If you decide to join them, turn to page 19. Interrupted by too high perception check that it has become a flaw. You notice an opening off to the side. You want to try that.
I honestly suspect that even if we do wander away from here, we'll be back at this page at some point.
As in, you think it'll become a decease?
I think if it doesn't become a decease, it will become a terminated point fast enough that we'll end up back on this page. So I'm more than willing to take the risk.
I'm down to try it. I do think it's very funny to be like, to follow this nice lady down, hear it out. And the second she divulges all the plot, we go, okay, bye.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, it's the experience of most players in Oblivion, right? You go through the opening, you get introduced to the main plot of the story, and then you go, but I hear there's some rats that need hunting. And you go left, right? Yeah. No one cares about the main story.
I know. But how is that going to factor into my very large cheese wheel collection? I'm down to do it. The funny. It also brings us all the way to page 70, which is so far. Hoping to outwit computer control, you head towards an opening in the wall of the electronic wiring. You're almost through it when you hear a cry.
The human's leaving!
A whole crowd of people is looking at you. You start running as fast as you can for any cover you can find. In your rush, you stumble on a large bundle of wires coming up from the floor. You slip behind a nearby wall and watch as the crowd goes running by, Scooby-Doo style. As you sit there, trying to decide what your next move will be, you hear a voice.
Hello.
At first you don't see anything, but after looking a little bit harder, you spot something down on the floor. It looks like a giant spider, except that it has skinny wires for legs, a bundle of computer parts for a body, and two very thin electrical wires for antennas. The voice seems to be broadcast from its two antennas. It's very cute. We get a picture of it. Mm-hmm. It is very cute. It looks like something straight out of Mega Man, to be honest. Go to page 71.
Appropriate size of eyes.
If you want to get out of here, follow me, human.
The thing says.
Not so fast.
You say.
Who? What are you?
I'm a glitch. A sworn enemy of the computer. I just wander around here scrambling computer commands, confusing the circuits, that sort of thing. If you want to get away from those crazy people, follow me.
No. Thanks. I've had enough help.
I'm a glitch, sworn enemy of the computer. I just wander around and mess stuff up. I like this guy.
Hell yeah.
I just wander around and mess things up.
A little bit of a chaos agent. What a little guy.
I want to protect them. You move off into the gloom, heading into the opposite direction from the way the crowd ran. But a few more steps bring you to the edge of an enormous cliff. Apparently, you climb to the top of some gigantic computer component, and the only way off is either to go back the way you came, or to try and jump over to the next tower. You feel as though you're standing on top of a cliff a million miles high. But with a good running jump, you could probably make it across to the other one. Suddenly, you hear footsteps of the crowd heading in your direction. You have no other way to go, unless you go with that glitch. Which would you rather try? Jumping across the next cliff, head to page 73, or heading back to the glitch and seek a new route out of here? 74.
Do we want to reject assistance at all available points? Just, like, turn down every storyline and see where that gets us?
Okay, let's start with that, and then when it either we die or we just run into like a very weird blunt end, we'll come back and we will go to the glitch. I'm marking this page.
Sounds good.
Marking this page to come back to 74. You decide to jump to the other computer tower, backing up a bit so you have enough space. You take a good running start and leap. A second or two later, you just barely land on the other side. The voices of the people grow louder, and very soon a small crowd appears on the spot you just jumped from. They're waving and yelling at you. You can't make out every word, but it's obvious they want you to return. Just imagine being like, okay, and then leaping across the cliff back. Okay. And then just, boom. They're waving and yelling at you. You can't make every word. Okay, you move away from the edge of the cliff, but you don't get very far before you back into a solid wall made out of some hard black material. In groping around, your hand touches some kind of lever on the wall. I guess in your brain, you say?
This must be a power switch.
You think. You grab it with both your hands. When the crowd sees you do this, they start yelling even louder. They're telling you to leave the lever alone, and you pull it anyways. And when you do, you wish you hadn't. The ledge you're standing on disappears into the side of the cliff. In a few seconds, you'll have nothing to stand on. The crowd sees your predicament and starts begging you.
Jump! Jump! There's still time!
They're leaning far over the edge with their arms outstretched. It's time to jump to page 10. Or pull the switch again and go to page 76. I mean,
the full reject is 76, right?
Like, yeah.
Whatever you tell me to do, no. I'm not doing it.
I don't wanna. I'm 16 and I don't wanna.
Uh-huh.
No.
I was gonna start folding my clothes, but now you told me to. So I'm never gonna fold my clothes.
Yep. You pull on the switch as hard as you can, but nothing happens. Actually, something has, only you're not aware of it. You have activated a new video game, Catch the Mountaineer. A little figure hangs on the side of a cliff, and a group of tiny video rescuers with safety nets below running back and forth and trying to catch the Mountaineer. Before you smash into the ground, your sister Kate is playing the game, controlling the rescuers, and you hope that she is good. The end.
She's probably not. Our character is very, very selfish, and I don't imagine gave their sister many goes of the computer.
Yeah, probably. That's about an ending that I was probably expecting. Do you want to jump back over on 10, or do you want to say no?
Yeah, let's jump back over as well.
Yeah, we'll clean up that path. You get ready to jump. Maybe it isn't as far across as it looks, you think. And so, backing up as far as you can, you leap at the opposite cliff. The people have all had their hands outstretched, ready to catch yours, and they miss. You're falling, 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 falling into the deepest, darkest, most bottomlessest hole ever. Can't write that part. The deepest, darkest, most bottomless, most infinity plus two deep hole ever. After an unbelievably long time, infinite, perhaps, you finally do hit a bottom, down in the dust.
So, okay.
It's not the most bottomless hole, then, I'm going to say.
Every hole we've seen before this has had a very clear, obvious bottom to it. This is the most bottomless hole we've ever encountered.
I guess just by proxy, by definition, the deepest hole we find ever is the most, you could argue, is the most bottomless.
Yeah, in the same way that I would argue that the world's oldest person is currently the most immortal, right? They aren't immortal, but they are the most immortal.
Yeah, you would never say it because you would sound like a ding-dong, but...
Of course.
It is... I wouldn't even call it technically true. There's an argument, if you bend your little noggin a little bit, you could...
I keep pitching the idea of changing the title name to Guinness, but they won't budge on it. They're still sticking with oldest person.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought of the idea that what if Guinness just undermined every single achievement by ending it with so far? They really should. The thought of them editing the next book. For posterity, just that every single tallest person so far. I don't know why, that's just a funny thought to me. Okay. Yeah. After an unbelievably long time, you finally hit the bottom of the most bottomless-istest pit. Down in the dusty and dingy lower surface of the machine. You don't mind the surroundings so much as the really dumb people. All the video game losers that you have to share your space with. And boy, are they stupid. After a while, all the dumb questions drive you crazy. For one thing, no one can do the simplest math problem, and no one ever remembers the right answers when you give them. Ah, yes, video games. And so you get involved in conversations like...
We're having an argument. He says 2 plus 2 is 5, but I say he's wrong. I say it's 6.
And when you tell them the right answer...
What'd you say it was? 3?
It drives you cuckoo. Still, it could be worse. Everyone down here also thinks that you are a genius. The end. All right. I mean, I'm going to say I'm really happy we can go back and see Glitch.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been more happy to have run away from the people.
Yeah.
And that's my standard maneuver.
Yep.
What page do we meet the Glitch on? That's 7, right?
74.
74. Come on, hurry up!
The Glitch shouts as he scrambles through an opening in the mass of wires.
Just stick with me, and I'll get you out of here, if that's what you really want.
The Glitch says.
Of course that's what I want. Why would I hung around inside this dump?
You ask.
I don't know. It's not such a bad place once you get used to it. It might just be wires to you, but it's home to me.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to it.
I love this Pixar movie. You're welcome to it, you say?
My idea of home is a little di-
The Glitch holds up a feeler for silence. You listen and you hear something slowly dragging itself in your direction. The very sound makes your skin crawl.
It's a time!
The Glitch says.
What is it?
A wandering electronic random masher. A worm. It's one of this computer control's killer patrols. Their job is to roam the circuitry looking for glitches and other unauthorized individuals.
What do they do if they capture you?
Capture? They don't know the meaning of the word. They roast whatever they find. Now you, for one, would make a great worm equivalent of a double order with fries. Let's get going.
Go on to page 75. You're about to run when the worm stops dead and seems to turn in your direction. You hold your breath and wait. The worm turns away again. Now when you look around, the glitch is gone. He must have taken the... Oh yeah, it's a thought. It's in italics. He must have taken the circuitry tunnel straight ahead. Or did he? Maybe he decided to get lost in the tangle of wires and cables off to one side. The dragging and scraping noise of the worm is getting louder. You have to decide what to do, and quickly. You decide to go straight, page 77, step into the jungle of wires, page 78. Well, it is home to him. He did say so.
Yeah, exactly, which makes me also lean towards 78.
Cross it off. You decide to follow the glitch and see where you end up. You run into the jungle of wires hanging like tropical vines from the top and sides of the tunnel, and in a few minutes, you reach an electronic clearing. The glitch... Sorry. Just like... It's an electric jungle, and it's an electric clearing. You just... Mm-hmm. You walk through the electronic grass and visit an electronic store. Anyway.
It's from the school of blue. The song.
Yeah. He's got a blue house and a blue window. Blue is the color
and
of all that I wear.
Is just blue for him.
Yeah. And he ain't got nobody to listen. Sad story. The glitch is there, waiting.
You know, things would go a lot easier for both of us if you were a glitch.
He observes.
Yeah, and it'd be better if you were a pizza. I wouldn't feel as hungry as I do. What's that even got to do with anything?
I was just thinking that if you had some of my skills, we could really get on that computer's nerves. And maybe he'd be so sick and tired of you that he'd let you go. I could give you temporary glitch powers. They're limited to one-time use.
You can? Go ahead and glitchify me.
At that, the glitch lays its antenna on your shoulders and you feel it tingling.
Now, what do you want to do? Give computer control a really hard time? Or just cause some mischief and get out of here?
If you want to give computer control some serious trouble, 91. If you want to stir up some minor mischief before you get out, turn to page 80.
Serious trouble?
Make it double.
You down for some serious trouble?
I always have been. I mean, not actually. I'm too scared to, but in the book, absolutely. There's no consequences here.
In the book world, I will happily evoke dire shenanigans.
In the video game within the book world, the video game world within the book world, I'm kind of pretty bold.
I'm enough levels of obfuscation away from this world that I'm brave now.
I understand this so little that I'm confident. I've doubled back, and I, in fact, your god. Book. Revenge would be very sweet, you decide, so you tell the glitch that you would like to get even with the computer control before you escape. You decide that you'd like to cut off the computer's main source of nourishment, the electric power feed that goes to it. Uh-oh. I mean, hey, we'll see. The glitch is not so sure you have a good idea.
Electricity's tricky.
He notes.
Others who've tried to shut down the computer control that way have had, unfortunate accidents.
You tell the glitch you want to try it anyways, and he leads you over to a pair of enormous wires. Uh-oh, don't cross the wires. The circuits. The glitch shows you which wires are the main ones and then quietly steps away to watch. Under the glitch's distant guidance, and with all his power surging through you, you've just grabbed one wire when there's a blinding flash. You find yourself shooting through the highways of electricity, out of the computer, and right into the lines of the current. You lose all track of where you're going, but in another instant you discover that you've somehow shot into the wiring of your house. And a few seconds later, you find that you're on the television. Somehow, your image got scrambled and mixed in with your home television signal. Of course! Go to page 92. You can faintly hear your sister calling out.
Mom, look who's on the Saturday morning cartoons!
It's true! It's you! Or at least a ghost image of you haunting your television set. At first, they're upset to find one of the family locked inside the TV, but later they get used to it. You're the first in the family to have your own TV show. The end.
I don't want a member of my family like Bonzi Buddy just hanging out in my TV judging my choices of what I'm watching.
Yeah, you can never have any guilty pleasure shows ever again. If you can only
Absolutely not. You can only watch
Citizen Kane on loop. And be like, you're forced to. Like,
Damn, my family is the smartest of all time. Everyone's watching Citizen Kane every day.
I'm so smart, I only watch Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta tell you, in film studies, in college, I watched Citizen Kane. I don't get what the big deal is. Hot take. I think it's mid.
Wow, you're so smart that you think Citizen Kane is mid.
No, it's more like I got sleepy and then I was thinking about League of Legends.
I still think that's multiple levels beyond.
Yeah.
this story, this is so humdrum and this is so boring and this is so non-artistically nourishing to me that I'm nodding off and thinking about something else more engaging.
Yeah, like
That's the hotshot professor who can't be bothered to listen to his students because he's already having a better idea.
Yeah, I can't talk about the themes of Citizen Kane right now. I'm theory crafting a really good Wukong build, so. Anyways, should we go to page 80 and cause a little mischief instead of a big mischief?
Absolutely.
Also, I will say, much more respect. There was a brief period of time where Paddington 2 had a higher rating than Citizen Kane, and I stand by that one. Paddington 2 is my Citizen Kane.
I think that's a
film right there. That's cinematography.
That's an honest choice.
Paddington 1, pretty good. Paddington 2, better than Citizen Kane.
Better than Citizen Kane.
I mean it, though. There's a weird difference in quality between the two movies, and... I will say.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even hear that the first one released. The second one, everyone told me to watch.
It's good. Anyways, page 80. You should watch Citizen Kane on loop, actually. You decide that maybe a little mischief is in order, and when you tell the glitch, he has one suggestion to make.
I would love to get at the computer control logic center. I've always wanted to scramble his thoughts, at least for a few seconds. And maybe in the time that he's confused, you could slip out of here.
Why haven't you done that before?
Until now, I haven't come across anyone crazy adventurous enough to try it.
You're already having some doubts, but since this is your chance to break free, you don't want to pass by. The glitch continues to scramble on until he eventually locates what he's been looking for. The board of supreme logic, a high sheet of black metal with silver wires running all over its surface. Running into the base of it are two larger wires, one red and one black.
Okay, what we're gonna do is simple. All that's necessary is that each of us grabs and holds the black wire here. And when I nod my antenna, you concentrate all of the glitch force I gave you into your hands. This will make scrambled eggs out of the computer's thoughts for about 20 seconds. That will give you time to get to the exit sector over there.
He says, pointing to a large plug receptacle.
Ready?
Go to page 81. You channel all of your glitch power into the mainframe.
You'll fry its circuits.
Okay. Now grab the red wire.
Wait a minute. You said it was the black wire before.
So I did. You know, I'm not sure which wire it is, to tell you the truth.
What would happen if we grabbed the wrong wire?
You become part of the memory system. Very messy experience, they tell me. Now I'm all confused. Which one do you think we should grab?
If you're reading this book on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday, grab the black wire and turn to page 14. If you're reading it on a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday, grab the red wire, turn to page 13.
Time zones win again! We have one of us on each side of this.
We have successfully min-maxed, you know, our abilities to win Choose Your Own Adventure books by being in different time zones like this.
It was very expensive to relocate me from Tennessee,
And the amount of work you had to put in to get rid of your Tennessee accent. Just to sell the act. do we want to grab the black wire or the red wire since both are valid? Do we go with best thought?
He said grab the black wire, and that's what we'll do.
I just run out of ink, and this is relevant to everyone, and I must share. It looks like a black wire day, so with a little nervousness, you know, that saying, you and the glitch grab the black wire, and as you are pulsing glitch power into it, of course, hope for the best. There's some sparking and some flashing from the surface of the big black board, and you and the glitch hear computer control's voice. Shout out. One unmistakable word.
Huh?
We did it! We did it! We made it stupid!
Says the glitch, wiggling his antenna in excitement.
Come on, we better get going. It's only a matter of time before computer control repairs the damage.
With that, the two of you scramble towards the exit plug as fast as you can. Also note, never say the word huh, or you are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just with certainty.
Don't say huh?
Duh! No! You are almost there when two robot-like creatures with steel eyes step in front of you. I'm sorry for so many pauses, but can't a robot-like creature just be a robot? Like,
no, it's very similar, and it has steel eyes, and it's in a machine, and it is a robot.
God, today I got delivered a package by a very human-like mailman. Each is holding an electricity net, which they try and throw over you in the glitch. They miss you, but they snare the glitch. You turn to help, but the glitch waves you back.
You get going. I've dealt with these deadheads before. Keep running.
What should you do? One of the robots warns.
If you want to save your friend, you'd better stop where you are.
If you decide to go back, turn to page 83. If you decide to run for the exit, 82. I'm not going to let this cute Disney character die.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Let's try not let him die. I admittedly, I believe that he's probably capable of getting out of this jam by himself, as well as we get one charge of his powers, he says, and we've used it. So it's possible we won't be especially useful here.
It's true.
Let's try and be valiant.
We could be valiant, or if we think that running away will give us a quicker pathway towards a death, we could just try that one first. I don't care either way. What do you think?
Let's run.
We'll run, and then when this inevitably goes poorly, or even if it doesn't, we'll just go back and we'll see what it's like to save him.
Mm-hmm.
As you run towards the exit plug, you come to a long, dark passageway with a light at the end. You're running for what seems like days. When you finally get to the end, a wall of light. Stepping closer, you see that it's actually a kind of waterfall of electric current, and it's the way out of the computer. But you don't know for sure if you can get through. As a test, you take off one of your shoes and throw it hard at the wall. There's a quick flash as it hits the wall, and it passes through to the other side.
Well, it's worth a try.
You think? So covering your face with your arms, you get a good running start and jump headfirst through the sparkling wall. Then you hit something with a crash. If you open your eyes, you see the walls of your bedroom. Your younger sister is standing in the doorway, staring at you strangely.
Where have you been? I've been looking all over for you. Wait, where's your shoe?
It's a long story.
You sigh, and as you turn to your computer, you see a message printed on the screen.
Have a nice trip, the glitch.
What's that on the screen? What's a glitch?
She asks.
It's a long, long story.
You say.
A really long story.
The end. I thought that would be death for sure.
I did too.
But clearly he's okay. The glitch, that is.
Yeah, no kidding. He was capable of leaving that message. Do we want to see if things would turn out catastrophically awful for him if we actually tried to rescue him?
Yeah, I do. Against the sage advice of the glitch, you come back and face the two robots.
Okay, let the glitch go. What do you want me to do?
We want to see what kind of warrior you will make. Tricky people like you don't often end up in here, so we'd like to take the opportunity of trying you against one of our gladiators.
As they are talking, you notice that the glitch is quietly peeling away the net from its body and scampering off into the shadows on its skinny. One robot turns to the other.
Erase the glitch, and then with human along with us.
You were lying! You weren't gonna let it go!
You say, trying to buy the glitch a little bit more getaway time.
Of course we weren't. Why would we release our enemy?
And with that, the robots turn to find an empty net.
Well, you're not getting away. That's one thing we're sure of. Come on, it's time to meet the video warrior.
And at that, one robot drags you over to the rocket ship with a glowing figure at the controls. Turn to page 25, the video warrior.
I'm ready. Video Warrior, capital V, capital W, I'm in.
I'm so in. Also, I do love the turnaround into empty net. Aw, man. Aw, jeez.
shucks. We
lost him.
Well, you won't get away. Turns away. Oh, shucks.
Turns back to get comforted by the other robot. Well, at least you're all shucks.
You jump into the rocket and sit next to the glow-in-the-dark pilot. You try to talk to the strange character next to you.
Hi.
The pilot looks straight ahead and says nothing. The rocket ship glides towards a gigantic arena bordered by walls of light. The ship lands in the middle of a metal field with two figures walking up to you. A small green version of the humanoid who piloted your ship, and a very tall, human-like thing with some sort of metallic skin and two chrome ball bearings where its eyes should be.
I have a message from the computer control,
the short figure announces.
The master has decided to give you another chance.
To do what?
To defeat your way out of the computer by defeating the video gladiator. It's very simple. To win, all you have to do is tap the button on the creature's chest with this laser beam. Of course, the gladiator will be armed as well.
The man continues.
With this.
And he pulls out a bigger and more dangerous-looking laser beam, which he hands to the creature with ball-bearing eyes. Go to page 26. A micromillisecond later, the gladiator swings his laser and tries to slice off your head. You squat quickly. Within a micromillisecond? And the beam whizzes by. Damn. Wow. You jab at his side with your laser and sparks fly, but nothing happens. He lunges again, but his beam goes by and hits the metal ground underneath. Looking up under his arm, you can see a button. He moves his arm a little bit more and you see not one, but two buttons. Which one are you supposed to hit? The red one or the green one? If you aim for the red, page 55. If you decide to hit green, 64.
This feels like a setup. Simply, to win, hit the button on the creature's chest. By the way, one of the buttons defeats them, the other button powers them up, and they become super powerful and ridiculous, and then they immediately kill you.
Yeah. So it really
well,
does
red
come...
Red or green?
It comes down to, like, a bluff of, like, red is usually, like, a power down, green is, like, a go. Is it, like, what's the... Is it a bluff? Is it a double bluff?
Let's do it. Red, self-explode.
All right.
I gotta borrow this book again quickly.
All right.
What page am I looking for here?
55.
55. There we are.
You thrust up and just manage to tap the red button with your laser. Something strange happens when you do. A glittering fog descends over you and the gladiator, and you feel a little bit dizzy. You drop to your knees, the laser weapon drops from your hand, and you can't think clearly. Gradually, the fog lifts, and when you look up, you see that your opponent has changed. It's no longer with metallic skin and ball-bearing eyes. It looks like a human. In fact, it looks exactly like you. Your twin picks up the laser beam and swings it at you. You fight back, but make no progress. It's like fighting with your shadow. For every move you make, it makes an identical one. You fight, but you know you'll never beat your opponent. How could you when your opponent is you? For that reason, no one will ever win this battle, and you are doomed to battle in a fight without an end. The end, end. I will say if I had to fight myself in a fight, I do think there would be a winner because of how much indecision is there and that it's like, I don't know that I would do the same thing every time due to the fact that like sometimes it's just such a coin flip, my decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I don't freaking know.
So you're saying there would be a victor, but you're not certain which it would be?
Yes, 100%.
Even in the circumstance where the other person is a metallic version of you?
Yeah, that's true. I guess the metallic one would probably win by default.
Well, hang on. Huh? I'm assuming that they'll fight if we're fighting, but if I don't launch an attack, how can they launch an attack? They've got no moves to copy.
That's
I'm
so going to
invite them to go for a lovely spritz in the sauna.
Yeah, if it were me, I wouldn't fight, so they shouldn't fight either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not... That's
we should be able to team up with it. Hopefully that's what the green button does on...
64?
Page 54?
60, yes. 64, I think.
64, right.
I think.
That makes more sense, because 54 did not look contiguous.
Stretching up as far as you can, you manage to hit the gladiator's green button with your laser. Instantly, the warrior stops moving and starts laughing harder and harder until its whole body is shaking. The green button must be some sort of electronic funny bone, you figure. The gladiator is laughing so hard that little bits and pieces begin to fall off of him. I feel like every bit of electronics needs to have an like a funny bone button. Like, on your keyboard for your computer... Microwave, oven, all that stuff. Give me a one where when you press it, it just starts laughing. So you could like...
And it dismantles itself in doing so?
Yeah, well, maybe not. I was more thinking like, It's a good mood booster if you're having a bad day. You can tell a joke that doesn't have to be that good, and then you just press the funny button.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh.
I had some friends who had one of those instant laugh buttons that you could just buy online, and they would do that. They'd give basically a really bad pun and then just hit it.
Yeah.
Basically, it was a mood booster.
Basically, I'm saying every piece of technology needs to have one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The Gladiator agreed. Is laughing so hard that little bits and pieces begin to fall off of him. Soon, the gladiator has laughed himself into a small pile of junk. Just about this time, you spot some movement. At the other end of the metal arena, a group of gladiators heads in your direction. You run the other way, and you see a crowd, real humans, like you. They seem friendlier, so you head their way. As you approach the humans, one of them holds out their hand.
Here, join our circuit.
The group gathers in a circle, and you're the last piece. Okay. As soon as you complete the circle of... Just make a smaller circle. Anyways, as soon as you complete this circle of hands, the scenery around you starts to spin. When the spinning stops, you find that you've been transported to another part of the computer. A woman who introduces herself as Philomena stares at you with wild eyes. She looks desperate.
We need your help,
she says. Turn to page 48. How many main quests are there?
Having encountered this name in lore before... I know that this is often pronounced as Philomena.
Oh.
Okay, that's Philomena. Hey, I don't know how this one pronounces Philomena. It. There's no content. It's mutable in this book.
That is true.
I just wanted to pay some homage to one of Pete's earlier D&D characters who was named Philomena.
Yeah, it says pronounced Philomena. Interesting.
Oh, sorry, no. I did miss that subscript. My apologies.
Yeah. So, sorry. And audio listeners, I guess I can't prove it that it says that. You're just gonna have to take my word. You decide to stick around and see what Philomena. Oh man, I got it wrong now. I guess I'm gonna keep saying it wrong. After a short time, she returns with an old man. She describes him as the wise man of the circuits. The plan, says the wise man, is very simple. Since the innards of the computer are very delicate, a short circuit in the right place is all it would take to weaken it.
Are you willing to help?
He asks. You say yes, and the group forms a human chain. The chain stretches across a broad space. At the far end, Philomena tightly grips a bare computer chip mounted in the wall. When everyone is lined up, you notice a gigantic silver knob holding down several wires.
All right, everyone stretch out,
Philomena instructs. And when they do, she turns to you and says,
You, grab that knob.
You reach out and barely touch the enormous connector when a jolt of electric power pulses through you, knocking you to the floor.
Someone let go and broke the chain,
Philomena complains.
Let's do that again. What? Is she crazy?
You think.
Do that again?
If you decide it might be safer to try something else, go to page 59. If you're willing to give it one more shot, 61.
One more shot, I believe.
Even though your head is numb and fuzzy from the jolts, you're willing to try the human short circuit just one more time. Struggling to your feet, you grab the hand of the person nearest to you, this time to take a good long look down the line to make sure that everyone is connected. You take a deep breath, and then again reach out for the giant knob, your fingers shaking. You stop.
I can't do it!
You announce.
Please, you've got to!
The group begs.
It's our last chance.
With all those faces staring at you, you can't refuse. You reach out again. This time, when you touch your target, there's a loud hum that quickly turns into a high-pitched squeal. Finally, there's a loud pop, and all the lights go out in the room. Gradually, the light gets a little bit brighter. You can see that you're standing in the middle of a familiar room. Your bedroom. You've made it. You're out. And so are about 20 other people. You hear your mother call up the stairs.
Dinner's ready. I hope you're hungry. I made a lot of food, and I don't want any leftovers tonight.
You take a good look at the crowd of hungry-looking people standing around you.
Don't worry!
You shout back. The end.
Ooh, we did it! That's gotta be the best ending. We freed 20 people.
You would assume so. You would absolutely assume so.
So many of these stories end with the best of it being that we've gotten ourselves back out of a bad situation. Sometimes we're a little richer for it. But in this instance, we have reunited at least 20 families, 20 friend groups and social groups. We've brought all of these people out of permanent incarceration in the machine. I think this might be one of the best endings we've ever gotten.
I think it's one of the most, unequivocally good endings. That's saving yourself and others is, I would say, better than just saving yourself. Hot take.
Mm-hmm.
The question only remains is, do we want to just polish off the rest of this pathway on 59?
Oh, is there?
On 59 and not try to zap again?
Yes. Let's go.
We'll try that and we'll polish it off. One shock is enough for you, 59.
Look, I'm not going to grab that thing again.
You protest?
I'm not ready to be turned into an extra crispy human.
The others plead with you, but you refuse. No more chain reactions, short circuits. The wise man steps forward.
Perhaps this young person is right,
he says.
There may well be a better way to defeat the circuits. We could join the group together and direct our combined thought power at the delicate core of the computer long enough to scramble its circuits and let the group break free. All that is needed is a person to stand near the main core sector and act as a sort of human antennae for all of this thought. None of us can do that,
continues the wise man.
Because we have already been absorbed into the machine, and the computer can detect us coming. But you would be invisible to the detection system because computer control hasn't gotten you yet. Will you be our thought antenna?
The first thing you want to know is if there will be any shocks. The wise man says no, so you agree. Philomena and the wise man give you the directions. All you have to do is follow a certain red cable until it reaches a special gold triangle set in the computer floor. Go to page 60.
But this is very confusing getting there, and the human could get lost,
objects a distinguished-looking man known as the Helper.
Let me go with the human to help him find his way. I know the route well.
No,
objects Philomena.
You are marked like the rest of us. We can't risk the computer picking up on the unauthorized person near its critical area. It would ruin the plan.
I'll only go as far as to point out the way.
I forgot his voice again!
The Helper declares.
Let the human decide if the Helper should go along,
announces the wise man. If you think you could use help finding your way, turn to page 51. If you think the plan might work better on your own, turn to page 53. Wow. So they're pointing us in a direction, and the Helper would also point us in a direction.
Yes, but the Helper would also, like, you know, give warning to the computer that we're on approach. Let's go to 53, I think.
Based off of what the book is saying, it seems like that makes more sense. Whether or not it respects itself, we'll find out. You'll probably go faster traveling alone, you decide, so after thanking the Helper for his offer, you search out the red cable and set off on the trail for the computer core. As soon as you step away from the group, you begin to count. The plan is that by the time you count to 100, you should be standing in the golden triangle. When you reach the last number, you are to wait for the power to be beamed to you. At the count of 30, everything is going smoothly. You pull aside a heavy cluster of cables and pick up the track of the red one again. Eventually, the red cable leads to a clearing in the circuitry. And there on the floor, just as predicted, is the golden triangle, still counting. You get up to 70. A few more seconds, you receive the beamed power. You position yourself in the triangle. By the time you count to 100, you actually do feel a surge of something running through you. Out of the darkness, you hear the computer voice warning you.
Do not tamper with the core!
But you ignore the warnings. A few minutes later, the group finds you and gives you a big cheer.
It worked! It worked!
Philomena shouts.
Now is our chance to get free before the computer has a chance to repair itself. Form a power ring!
Go on to page 54. Everyone gathers in a circle and joins hands. Then, using the powers of concentration, they try and project themselves out of the computer. You feel
it's
a little...
It's a forgotten art.
Yeah. By the power of just trying to.
By the power of wanting it real bad.
You feel a little dizzy. I've been there. And notice some of the people are becoming transparent. There's a moment of confusion. You're not sure what has happened. But suddenly it seems like the plan has worked. You're no longer inside the computer. The only problem is you're not sure where you are. It looks like you and the rest of the group are all out inside a giant warehouse. Looking out a window, you can see a high wire fence and some guards and the roof of your house. It's the laboratory in your neighborhood. You're so excited, you run around to all the computer people shouting,
I'm back! I'm back home!
The door swings open, and standing there is a stone-faced man and two armed guards.
I'm sorry,
he says.
You can't leave just yet. You see, that computer is a top-secret project, and we cannot take chance on word of it getting out. I'm afraid you'll have to stay here for a while until we think it's safe enough to tell the world about this. About a year 2050, I think it'll be okay to let you go. In the meantime, we have a nice little top-secret hotel set up here with all the video games you could ever want.
The end.
Awful ending? Really bad ending?
Yeah. I know, all the video games you could want. And 2050, this like, is... we're getting there. 26 more years.
So 1983. So this incarceration is for 67 years.
Yep. Not a good ending.
Not even slightly. Also, they don't need to give me all the video games I could ever want. Just one. Slice and dice. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm with it.
We're good.
Go pick it up. All right. I'll say, okay, just because I scrolled up a little bit, I think I can confidently say we'll not add too much time if we instead take the helper and go to page 51 and clean it up.
Oh, absolutely. Great.
You bring the helper along as a guide. The wise man shakes your hand and wishes you luck. You and the helper set off on your quest, wandering between giant towers of electronic computer parts that soar above you like so many skyscrapers. Your eyes, however, are fixed on the red cable that will take you to the computer core, and the helper's eyes are fixed on you. After a short while, you realize that you're the one leading the way. He seems to be hanging back a little, perhaps looking for danger from behind. As you move through the gloom of the counterparts, you notice the red cable turns sharply to the left. When you begin to turn that way, your guide steps up to you and whispers,
"Not over there. Keep walking straight."
"But the cable is going to the left?"
you point out.
"The group forgot to tell you about the switch over here,"
he explains. You hesitate. With a shrug, you pick up a trail by following a white cable that moves along a twisty path through the computer wiring. Even so, you manage to follow the cable without too much trouble, and eventually you end up at a giant cylinder around which the cable is wrapped. There's a slot in one side of the cylinder. Go to page 52.
"You're here,"
the helper says quietly.
"Step inside."
"Where's the golden triangle?"
you say, looking around.
"The powers will work better in this area."
"All right, but I wish you people would get your plans straight,"
you say, stepping inside the cylinder. You barely put your foot inside when you hear a creepy mechanical laugh.
"Welcome to the absorption chamber, human!"
the helper shrieks before he fades away. Finally, just now, it dawns on you.
"You're a computer spy!"
"My, my, how smart we are today,"
he says as he disappears completely. He was just an illusion, a three-dimensional fake person planted in the group by computer control, just as Philomena warned you. As the absorption chamber starts humming around you, one thought keeps running through your mind.
"I was trapped by a ghost! Trapped by a ghost! Trapped by a ghost! Trapped by a..."
The end. Alrighty.
Don't trust creepy people who say they are helpers!
Yeah, I would never get help.
We've often heard the refrain recently of when there is, it's the Bob Ross refrain, I believe, when there's a tragedy, look for the helpers, and then avoid them, because they're going to trap you in a machine for the rest of your life.
And then run. They want your brain power. They want your thought juice. Run. We got the good ending, so it's fine to take this L. I'm surprised that these are both losses. I'm going to call being trapped in a hotel forever play, even though we have access to any video games we want. I'm going to call that a loss.
Yeah. It seems like they're trying to appeal to kids of like, hey, yeah, any video game you could possibly want, but like 67 years of incarceration. I don't know. You can't bait the hook well enough for me to agree to that.
Yeah.
They were seeking agreement at that point. It wasn't yes or no. It was this.
You're going to be trapped for 67 years. However, by being trapped, we mean you're not. And also, here's $100. Then I'm like, hey, all right, fine. Maybe we've got a deal. Okay, sure. Otherwise, no. I think we wrapped it up. I love 80s interpretation of high tech so much. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to me. It's.
I love how everything is exactly one adjective away from being electronic. It's electronic, it's steel, it's robot-like. Also, later on the robot-like page, they did just call them robots.
This robot is so robot-like. Yeah, it's very funny. I enjoyed it. A good, campy time. We met Computer Warrior, we battled electronic monsters. I love the glitch. Me and Glitch forever. Glitch merch coming out soon. Anyway.
All your favorite glitch phrases printed on the shirt.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on the book before we wrap it on up?
None especially that are not already have shared by you. I also just really, really like the nostalgia of this is what the future used to look like.
Yeah, this is what the now looked like then is fun. But hey, good job, Douglas Colligan. Good job, Douglas. Thumbs up, Douglas. In the year of our Lord and Savior pole position, you have brought to us the Video Avenger. But hey, speaking of brought to us by, who brought us this episode?
Was it something scary last episode or the episode before? Because I may not have moved this.
It's a great question. Let's just say thank you, something scary again, and also someone else, because I think we did.
And also to someone named Sean, then, as this would be the executive produce episode of someone named Sean. Much appreciated for supporting the show over at patreon.com/turntopagecast. Those at or above the hardcover tier are chosen each every episode on a rotating schedule to be the executive producer of that episode. Of course, we appreciate everyone supporting over on there, making the show much more comfortable to consistently produce content for, such as the new art for each of the new seasons, the banger of a theme at the very top of the episode.
10 out of 10 out of 10. Thank you for all of the help. Patreon.com/turntopagecast. Thank you to both of you and all of you. Thank you very much. If you want to help in a nice, clean, free way, youtube.com/@turntopagecast is a place you can go over to help. You can subscribe over there. Likes, comments, all that stuff is very helpful, as well as reviews on any podcast streaming site that you are listening on. That kind of stuff will go a great deal in helping. Been a good old time. It's going to do it here today for Twist Plot. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.